Okay, we're on page 1078. In the middle of the hidden brachas. Okay, so we're going to start. Last week we didn't learn it was Hanukkah, so we're going to start. Pasuk Chafalef, we're going to start, okay? Okay, the Pasuk says if you don't listen to the mitzvahs, so then all these curses are going to come upon you, all the opposite of the Baruch Ata Be'ir, you know, all you bless in the field, it's going to be cursed in the field. Everything's going to be, Hashem is going to send you the confusion. You're going to be all messed up. The worst problem, B'chol, is when a person's confused, but they don't know what. Okay, then it says like this, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, yeah, Pasuk 21. Yad Bek Hashem B'chol Sadov, Hashem will attach the plague to you. Ad Kaleisa Eischa Antud, consumes you. Mialo Adama, on the earth Hashatov, Hashem Alirishto. 1078. Hashem is going to destroy you from the land, mamash, the land that you're on.
Mama,
okay?
Can we talk about something happy? Something
yeah, well, we're going to get there.
These are hidden brachas.
These are all hidden brachas. Okay, he doesn't say, by the way, that he'll destroy you. It says he consumed you, meaning it's going to happen gradually. Yakha Hashem, Hashem will strike you, b'shachafes or kadachas, swelling lesions, kadachas is with fever, dalekas is even a burning heat, it means even hotter than kadachas, v'charchur and with thirst, v'cherev and with a sword, v'shidofen and wind blasts, v'yirokin and also which is everything's gonna wither, they will pursue until your destruction. I mean, all these physical things are going to come upon you and destroy you. You're going to have fever. Some people say kadachas is like hot and cold together. It's like when you have fever, it's like you're hot and cold together, which is even worse.
Have these things already occurred?
Yeah, a long time ago. They're not happening anymore. So let's go. The heavens on top of your head will be like copper. And the Mepharshim say, what do you mean, be like copper? It means nothing, rain, it won't rain. But it says, only our shcha, mean on your head. Not the whole world. The heaven that's on top of your head will not produce any rain. But in other places there'll be rain. Varetesh yetachtecha barzel, and the land beneath you will be like iron. If you remember we said many times, it says in Sfarim that the word barzel, iron, also we always refers to the iron curtain. Mechitza shel barzel always speaks about the iron curtains. Barzel is a Rosh Hateva, it's an acronym for the four wives of Yaakov Avinu. Bila, Rachel, Zilpah, Leah. That's what Barzel stands for. Bila, Rachel, Zilpah, Leah. What's wrong with that, though? They're very great women. But the problem is, Rachel was the primary wife, Bila was the secondary wife. Zilpah was the secondary wife, Leah was the primary, right? Each one had the maidservants. When Bila comes before Rachel, and Zilpah comes before Leah, meaning when the secondary comes before the primary, and the secondary again comes before the primary, then it's no good, then you're in trouble. And that's Bechlal in life. We need to know what's primary is primary, secondary. And one of the worst curses that it's saying over here is when you make the more important thing less important, the less important thing more important. In other words, basically, the curse is that you don't have your priorities straight. That is part of this curse. But again, this is only the Mepharshim say this is only the heaven on your head and the earth under your feet. Yitan Hashem, and Hashem will give you mitad artzicha, the rain. He'll give you rain, but avak va'afad will be dust and dirt. Instead of raining water, it's going to rain dust and dirt. Va'afam min Hashemayim Yeded alecha, and dirt will come from the sky. Adi shamdach until it will destroy you. Again, these are, Hashem will give rain, but not the rain that you want. But this is, by the way, all these curses only apply to rain. But dew, no matter how bad a Jew does, is lo netzer will never stop. 1 second. Da lo netzer, dew will never stop. Why will dew not ever stop? Because dew comes from such a place of godliness, which is above and beyond the behavior of the person, like we learned many times. Motor rain is, you know, it's also another interesting thing. Motor, there's another word over here, I don't know if he uses the word, zerem. There's another part that says, is going to protect you from zerem and motor. Zerem is a storm, and motor is rain. Zerem and motor. What's wrong with zerem and motor? Zerem, the letters equals resh mem zayin, 247, and motor is 249. It's not 248. 248 are the positive mitzvahs. Ramach, resh mem ches, that's good. But zerem and motor, that's what it says about a sukkah. It says in the pasuk that sukkah is going to protect the person from zerem and motor. What does zerem and motor mean spiritually? Negating mitzvahs. When you take off mitzvahs, then you'll only have resh mem zayin. So that's zerem. When you add to mitzvahs, then you have matar, 249. You're adding to mitzvahs. What is the concept of a sukkah? That it protects the person from zerem and matar. So in other words, even in this respect, here, especially in this case, the matar is actually something negative because it's going to rain dirt and dust. Instead of making the things grow, it's going to destroy the earth. What?
You know, at the end of Parsha Kitavo, I don't know if it's Hukotai or Kitavo, it says, why did all these things come upon you? Tachat
Nesher. Yeah, here, we're going to get there soon, I hope. Yeah, if we get there, we'll get there soon. Yitencha Hashem Nigof Lufnei Evecha. Hashem will make you struck down before your enemies. Bederech Echa Teitze Elov. You're going to go before your enemies. You will go with one road against him. And you're going to run away in seven directions. In other words, when the goyim come to war with you, you're going to go to them in one direction, meaning united. And in the war, they're going to destroy you to such a war, it's going to be such chaos that everybody's going to be running away in seven directions. That means, again, not knowing where you're going. You know, one of the worst curses in life is when you have a direction and you know where the road is and which direction you're going, even though you just began the journey, like the expression, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Okay? When a person begins a journey with one step, but they know they're going in the right direction, it's okay. It'll take your time, but you'll get there. When you're confused, you're going in all the, you know, like these people say, their heads in all directions.
Are you reading my mind or what?
Yeah. No, I'm inside your mind reading out. But that this is the curse. In other words, it's not only literally in war you're going to run away. It means in life. You're going to try doing one thing and you're going to get so confused and so mixed up.
Doubts.
That you're going to, doubts. You're going to end up going in all seven directions. And will be a cause of terror to all kingdoms of the earth. In other words, you're going to be afraid of everybody. Your carcasses will be food for every bird in the sky. That means not, and this is an additional curse. Not only are you going to die, but you won't even have the merit to be buried. One of the great things in Jewish law is to be buried. Here it says your carcass will be food for the bird of the sky, and to the animals of the field. Nobody's going to be afraid of you. Nothing will frighten the animals. Okay? Nothing will frighten the animals. Okay, 1 second. Okay, next. Like, they're very harsh, these curses.
I'm serious.
What?
I'm gonna walk out of here in a moment.
He's gonna walk out of here.
Okay. Yakha Hashem. And remember, again, the curse is that the person's going to lose this image of God that exists on every single Jew by nature. Like Hashem told Adam and because the person's created in the image of God. But when a person stoops so low, the animals won't even be frightened from you.
And they don't even
cover the burial.
I mean, that's
pretty bad. Yakla Hashem, Hashem will strike you with will strike you with the boils of heat, Egypt, of atchedim, hemorrhoids, of agaras, of echaras, with wet boils and dry boils. Asheli suchali rafi, you won't be able to be cured. Yako Hashem, Hashem will make you bishigoyin uve ivarin, with madness and blindness, uve simen leva and confounding of the heart, meaning you're all going to be mixed up. Vayitzim mamashmish batzorayim, you'll even try to move or grope at noontime, like a blind, like a blind person gropes around the night. It means like this. A blind person can't see God, he can't see. But at least during the day, he knows people will see him, that he's blind, and they'll help him, hopefully. But when a blind man walks at night and nobody can see him, so then he can't even be helped. So he says, you're going to walk around during the day like a blind person at night. Meaning, and he says, you're not going to be both successful. You will be only cheated and robbed all day. They Messiah, and there's no savior. Isha Sa'aresh, you will betroth a woman. Vishach Yishkeven, another man will live with her. Bayis Tivna, you'll build a house. Vileisesh, but you won't be able to live in it. Kerem Tita, you'll plant a vineyard. Vileishalani, you'll never be able to redeem it. By the way, this is the opposite. When Jews went to war, the din was if a man got married that year, he had to spend the year with his wife. He didn't go to war. He bought a new house. He had to dedicate the house for a year. He'd made a new vineyard. So we hear the Torah saying just the opposite. You're going to get married. It's not going to be good. You're going to have a house. It's not going to be good. All these things.
What are these conditions for, again?
Well, we're going to soon learn what it means if we get there. Your ox will be slaughtered right before your eyes. You won't even be able to eat from it. Your donkey will be robbed before you. Lachan will not be returned. Your flocks will be given to your enemies. And nobody will be able to save you. Your sons and daughters will be given to another people. Your eyes will see. And pine in vain for them all day long, and your hand will be powerless. Minkel means strength, might. Your hand won't even. Okay. Everything that your fruits of your land and everything that you made an effort, a nation that you don't even know will eat it up. I mean, they'll come and take you. You only be cheated and downtrodden all the days. Now there's a pasuk that some people think is a mitzvah, but it's a curse. You will be nuts.
It is talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Stick around.
Don't leave
your No, because it says, it means you will become Meshuggah. But people say it means literally, you have to be Meshuggah. No, it doesn't mean you have to be Meshuggah. Mimare inecha shetideh, you become mad, as it says, from the sight of your eyes that you will see. Yeah, I'm going to read this. I'm going to get to the pasuk about Simcha, but Yaakov Hashem b'shchinra, Hashem will strike you with the foul boils, al bekayim al shakayim, on your knees and legs, that you won't be able to cure it. From the sole of your foot to your crown. By the way, at the end of Parshas Kisovim, the next Parshas starts Parshas Nitzovim. It says after the Jews heard all these curses, they said, oh my God, what's going to be with us? So Meish Rabbeinu says to them, don't worry, you're still here today. So don't worry about him. Hashem will lead you and the king will set upon yourself to a nation that you won't know. Then you're going to end up worshipping idols over there, eighth oven of wood and stone. You'll be a source of astonishment. A parable and a conversation piece. Everybody's going to talk to you. Look what happened.
In the Pasha, this is all Hashem. They
Yeah. Shenagach shamsham that God will lead you. Zerarav teitzi yisoda. You're gonna take abundant seed out of the field, but you'll harvest a little bit. You know, you plant a lot and get nothing. Kiachseleno arbe, because the locust will devour it. 1 minute. Kramim tita vavadata, your vineyards you will plant and work, v'yayin litishtam lisegar, you'll not be able to drink the wine, you'll not gather it, ki sechlena tlas, the worms will eat it. Zeisim yulucho b'cho gulecha, you'll have olive trees throughout your boundaries, v'shemen leisosuch, and you won't be able to anoint with oil, because the oils, the oil olives will drop. Banim abanis tailored, you'll give birth to sons and daughters, v'yayiloch, that won't be yours, they'll be taken into captivity. All your trees and fruits of the ground, the chirping locusts will ruin. The goy in your midst will become all the way above you. Instead of you controlling the goyim are going to control you. Who Yalvachal, he'll be the one lending you money, Vatale Savani, you will not lend him money. Who Yalarash, you'll be the head, Vatatia Zonov, and you'll be the tail. We're almost coming there. Ubarlach, all these curses will come upon you, Udafucha Visidocha, they'll pursue you and overtake you, Adi Shamdach, until you'll be destroyed. Why? Kile Shamaita, Bekol Hashem Alakacha, because you didn't listen to the voice. To listen to all the mitzvahs. Just because you don't listen to all the mitzvahs, all these things are going to come upon you. Will be a sign and a wonder for all your generations, for all to come. Okay, now, why do all these curses come? The pasuk says like this. Tachas, because you didn't serve God with simcha and a good heart, with joy over to the goodness of the heart, when everything was abundant. Okay? The simple meaning of the pasuk is like this. All the curses, and again, this pasuk is unique because the previous psukim said you didn't listen to Hashem. Here the pasuk adds a new dimension. Why are these curses coming upon you? Because you didn't serve Hashem with simcha v'tuv levav. Merev kol, when you had abundance. Simply it means that when things were good, you didn't have simcha. So Hashem says, okay, now I'll give you what to not be simcha about. That's what he says. There's a definition of the Arizal here. That in this Altrebbe alludes to in Tanya. Tachas eshel yevados Hashem lekecha b'simcha v'tuv levav meirov kol, meaning because of the abundance in the gashmiistical world, meaning your simcha became from the physical enjoyments of life rather than the spiritual enjoyments of life. That was your joy, because that was your joy in the gashmiistical things. That's why all these curses come upon you. Okay, now let's discuss a little bit this concept of simcha, number one, what it means, and why is it so important.
Excuse me, can I say one more comment?
Yeah.
How can you be simcha if you have a yetzer hara that's constantly bothering you? Really?
So if you wait a second, I'll tell you. Want to listen?
Of course.
Okay, good. Okay. Why is simcha so important? I could serve God and be depressed. I mean, why do I need to serve Hashem with simcha? The main thing is to serve Hashem. So the answer, there's a few answers over here which are very, very simple, very basic. Number one, a person by nature is limited. Definition, limited. Hashem is infinite. How is it possible for a finite being, for a limited being, to reach the infinite? It's seemingly impossible. The only way that's possible is not by nullifying yourself, but by breaking your barriers. The Chazal have an expression, Simcha peretz geder. Simcha breaks boundaries. When a person is really happy, they do things that they normally don't do. They'll dance crazily. They'll do things that they normally don't do. Simcha breaks barriers. When a person is besimcha, what actually happens is, he breaks his finite limitations, and therefore he's able to reach the infinite Hashem. In order to reach the infinite Hashem, a person has to break their limitations. Breaking limitations, which is the concept of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, by the way, but the only way that can happen is in a worshipping way is by having simcha. So simcha is vital in the observance of Torah mitzvahs because simcha breaks the barrier. Now the question is, if a person has all these issues, okay, how in the world is Hashem able to make, for us to be able to have simcha? How can we have simcha if all these things are happening to us? So, I mean, he speaks about it very little, but what it means is like this. A person realizes that anything that comes from Hashem is good. Okay. Anything that comes from Hashem is good. And therefore, if Hashem gives it to me, it's good. And I have the ability to overcome it. The tests that Hashem gives a Jew, generally speaking, are divided into two categories. The test of poverty and the test of wealth. These are the two tests that God's, whichever way you want to define wealth and poverty, but any test that a person, any challenge, is either a test of wealth or a test of poverty.
Are you talking about like monetary? Or are you talking
I'm saying any wealth, emotional wealth, spiritual wealth, physical wealth, whatever it is. And then there's the test of poverty. Okay? When the Gemara uses the expression, Ein ani ele bedas, vein asher ele bedas. The Gemara says, poverty is only in the das, in the mind. And wealth is in the mind.
True.
Okay? It's not, thank you. It's not only in the amount in the bank account, how much, whether you're poor or rich. It means basically in your attitude. Attitude of wealth and poverty is like the famous story, you know, how can I live with nothing? You sent him to Rav Zusha, who was living with nothing, and he said, I have everything, I don't know, you know. This the state of mind that brings a person to be able to serve Hashem properly. The Jew's state of mind, and this is where simcha comes into place, the person's state of mind has to be, Hashem does it, it's good, number one. Even when it seems to be a test, a terrible challenge which is extremely difficult to do, the Jew understands that simultaneously with the test, Hashem is giving me the ability to overcome the test. Simultaneously. Which means, And the simcha is like this. When I understand that if Hashem gives me a bigger test, that means Hashem trusts me that can overcome the test. So the fact that a Jew realizes, look how much Hashem trusts me, that another person that doesn't have such a big test wouldn't be able to overcome it. Hashem gives it to me, because I am able to overcome it. Similar to what the Gemara says, Rabbi Mechabed Ashirim, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi honored wealthy people. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was richer than all of them. It says, the Gemara says, it's a very interesting thing, the stable boy, the guy in charge of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's stable, was richer than the king of Persia. From what the Gemara says, from all the Rebbe had so many horses that the manure of all the horses made him wealthier than the king of Persia.
Wow.
Okay? Okay. Now, why did Rebbe give honor to rich people? Do you think they're smarter, they're better, they're not better people, they're not smarter
now,
people?
Why is it that we say
Okay, so why did Rebbe mechaber Hashidim? So it says, the explanation, because Rebbe said like this, every person, whatever we own, is God's money. God, it makes us as the manager of his estate.
Safe.
We are managing safe God's box. Estate.
Safe
box. You save bucks. We are managing Hashem's estate.
Right.
Now, if Hashem gives a person more money to manage, that means Hashem trusts that person more. Because he's giving him more money, he's giving him more money to manage. If he gives him more money to manage, that means Hashem is trusting the person. So Rabbi said, if this person is rich, meaning the person has something going for him, that Hashem trusts the person with more of Hashem's estate, the larger percentage, so to speak, of Hashem's estate, that Hashem knows that he could do the right thing or has the ability to do the right thing with it. So Rabbi said, you know what? Such a person needs to be honored. Because obviously, God has a certain trust in this person that he doesn't give to the person that he's not giving that much money.
One minute.
But, the same thing. When a person is given a bigger challenge than others, and by the way, we always think, my challenge is the worst challenge in the world. That's what people have a nature of thinking. Because, you know, that's the way it goes. The truth is,
Miss
kid, we probably never change our challenges for anybody else's challenges. Okay, but the point is, if Hashem gives me a challenge, and the challenge is big, that means Hashem trusts me, empowers me, that I can overcome even a big challenge. So therefore, what should a person attitude be? Look how fortunate I am. This big challenge that God gave me means Hashem really believes in me, that I could do it. That itself, in the state of mind, should cause the person to have simcha. Because Hashem is giving me the challenge that only I can overcome and nobody else can.
But what if the person cannot overcome
that? Then Hashem doesn't give it to him.
But there are people who have challenges.
Then every person's challenge can be overcome by that person. I'm just telling you a fact.
Uh-huh.
Okay? If Hashem gives somebody a challenge, you don't give somebody a challenge that they cannot do. It's foolish.
Correct.
You don't give a first grader, eighth grade work to do. Okay? You're not gonna give a first grader an eighth grade test, even though they'll probably do better than the eighth graders. But that's not a compliment to the eighth graders. Okay? But, you'll have, that. Meaning, you don't give...
It becomes their challenge, but they have the ability to... That's what he's
saying.
They have the ability.
Where do you get the ability?
1 minute.
God created.
If you wouldn't talk and listen, you'd hear. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'Bitronim B'Yosef, the Gemara means, says, Hashem does not challenge a person more than the person can handle. Any challenge given to any person means that particular person that was given the challenge could overcome it. Not anybody else. Not anybody else. Because if Hashem gave you the challenge and not me, means you could overcome it and I can't. Hashem gives me my challenges because those are the challenges I could overcome and you can't. So no matter what the challenge is, and when a person thinks their challenges are even greater, the truth of the matter is the person needs to be happy.
That means the person's greater. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. If I realize that Hashem is giving me a challenge, okay, and yet I can overcome it, so then I should be excited.
I'm happy, yes. You will have no idea how happy.
What?
The test is...
Ecstatic.
When God gives test, is good or bad?
When what?
When God gives some test, is good or bad?
Good.
It's good. Why we, after we do Modi, the Susan Barachot,
we say don't give me tests.
Yeah, why they say that?
Why do we say, God, don't give me tests? Yes. Very, very simple. Yeah. So the question is, why do we ask for no tests? Because that's the story with David HaMelech. David HaMelech asked God for tests. He wanted to prove himself. When you have a challenge and you overcome the challenge, you reach a level that you wouldn't be able to reach otherwise. Like we said, Nais, Nisoyin. Remember, miracle, test, Nais is a banner. Okay, all three words are interconnected. A person should not ask for tests. Because if we're asking for tests and Hashem is not giving it to us, that means Hashem's telling us, you can't overcome it. When I give it to you, you could overcome it. But when you're asking it yourself, you're not going to be able to overcome it. So don't ask for tests. If I give it to you, I give you simultaneously the ability to overcome the test. When David HaMelech asked Hashem, I want tests because I want to prove myself, Hashem said, no, you don't. And when he kept asking, Hashem said, fine, I'll give you a test and let's see what happens. But then Hashem said, basically, I'm not giving you the test. You're asking for the test, so then I'm not giving you the power to overcome it. If I'm not giving you the power to overcome it, then you're going to fail it. So the tests have to come.
He gave it to him anyway?
He gave it to him, and he failed.
Shlomo, not David.
David HaMelech asked for the test. It doesn't matter. The point is, it was David HaMelech. The point is, when Hashem gives the test, he gives us the ability to overcome it. And therefore, even if the test is poverty, whatever the poverty is, when a person has the ability to overcome the test, so what's the simcha? The simcha is the realization. Simcha doesn't mean dancing. Okay? You can be simcha inside and outside, you know what I mean? But it doesn't have to go dancing. Simcha is a person, like it says, the Gemara has an expression, and not the Gemara, but does Chazal have an expression? Ein simcha kataras asfekas. There's no greater simcha than when your doubts are solved.
Problem solved.
It doesn't mean you go dancing.
You're right.
Okay? When your problems are solved, there's no greater simcha. Because what is simcha? Simcha basically is the peace of mind, knowing which direction I'm going, how to get there, and the attitude, I will get there. I will get there. Okay? Sometimes you need to ask directions how to get there. Sometimes you don't need to ask, whatever. But eventually, you have the GPS, which is the Torah, giving us the directions of go here, go there. But then, when you make the wrong turn, you know, the GPS says the way, says go right, and you go left. So it reroutes you. You messed up, but the Torah reroutes you. But you want to get to your destination. Eventually, you have to listen to what they're going to tell you. Because otherwise, you'll never get there. And therefore, the Pasuk is saying like this. All the curses, all the evils, everything mentally and spiritually, a person that's happy has a good life. I'm talking about not financially. The person who's happy knows what they're here for, knows what they need to accomplish, knows which direction they're in, and they know they could do it. That's the bottom line of it. And if you don't have that, then you're all messed up and you're all, you know, all the curses that you're confused and the nations are going to conquer you. It doesn't necessarily mean a nation outside of you. It could mean the Yetzer Hara can conquer you and mix you up and make you meshuggah. For you, some meshuggah. You know, you can become nuts because you have this internal struggle that you don't know what you want. All these things could be taken in a personal way. You know, the inner struggle, you're going to do plant things and they'll never harvest it. And you know, all these things can happen because the person doesn't know what they want.
And you can even say, even in today's world, you say, even a person, you can have all these things. You can have money, you can have all those things. As soon as you're not happy.
That's what makes him a sugar.
You can think you have simcha, you know.
You don't get happiness from something outside of you. I explained this once to a guy in the show many, many years ago. He was not happy. He had money and wasn't happy. So he went out and bought himself an expensive car. This was a long time ago. Yeah? Bought himself an expensive car. So he told me afterwards, for 2 weeks, he was happy. 2 weeks he was happy. And then after the 2 weeks,
again,
it was a car like any other car. So I said to him in a nicer way than I'm telling you now, you said, you moron, you cannot become happy from a car. A car cannot make you happy. Nothing external can make you happy. The only thing that can make you happy is internal. When you have peace of mind and you know what you're supposed to be doing and what your goals are and the direction and how to get there and break your barriers and reach it, that's what causes simcha. There's nothing to do with it. If you're happy with what you have simcha, then you're rich. That's what the Mishnah says. And if you don't have it, then all these things, all these curses come upon the person. That's what's very simple. No, but
you say the we are limited.
By definition, we're limited.
But our
thought, not in the neshama.
So our thought is not limited.
The thought?
That is not limited.
Sure it is. It's limited.
Huh? They can do every day, they do.
You can only think one thing at a time. You can only think one thing at a time. Because if you think more than one thing at a time, you're neither here nor there, and you're mixed up, and you're meshuga, and you're confused, and you don't know where you're going.
So that's me?
100%.
But the capacity to go over is too much.
That's because of the neshama. The neshama, which is part of Hashem, and that's why simcha comes from the neshama, which is within us. Okay? When the Pasuk says, all these mitzvahs, besides Simcha, yeah, it says, when you, because he didn't listen to the mitzvahs, because he didn't listen, ki lo shemaita b'kol Hashem alakecha, right? All these confusions and, what's the point?
What is advantage to say listen? Listen is not, nothing to do anything.
Listen?
You have to do that. You know, when you listen, listen.
Yeah,
is not
listen and do. As you listen is, Hashem says to do something, you don't do it. You're not listening. That's what it means. Doesn't mean, like you talk to your teenage son, that they listen, they don't listen. When you listen means Hashem says do it, and you do it.
You don't obey it. Don't obey it.
We explain many times, when it says in Pirkei Avos, and it's all connected here, by the way, Ein loch ben chayrin ala misha isik batayra. There's no free person, basically, unless if you follow the ways of Torah. It doesn't say learning Torah. It doesn't say, Enoch ben chen al mi shalem et Torah. Esek va Torah means it's your occupation, meaning you live Torah. When you live Torah, then you're a free man.
Excuse me.
The question is, Torah is the most controlling book in the world.
Yeah.
The second you wake up in the morning, Torah tells you already what to do. The whole day, how to eat and sleep and go to the bathroom. Yeah, one second, I'm starting from the morning.
Oh, okay.
The Torah is telling you, the second you open your eyes, the Torah is already telling you, okay, do my dani, do that, nagama, do that. Okay, then the Torah tells you how to go to the bathroom. The Torah tells you how to go to the, you can't even do what you want in the bathroom. The Torah
says
how to tie your shoe, how to get dressed, how to take a shower, how to eat, how to business. Man, from A to Z. And then you think at night you go to sleep. The Torah says, no, this is the way you gotta go to sleep. You gotta go sleep on this side, wake up on this side, this is what you gotta do. What is this? And that's freedom? That's freedom? And the answer is, it's the same concept of simcha, by the way. That is the only freedom. Ein loch, ela, means there is no freedom only. Why? By the way, simcha is when you're free. When you're not confused. You're not enslaved to your confusions. Why is ultimate freedom only when Torah tells you? Because we in life are all enslaved to everything in the world. We dress based on what some people decide need to be dressed. We act the way people decide this is the way people act. And everything else in the world. And even if, and it goes even more, if I do something because I want to do it, so I'm slave to my emotions. I'm a slave to my emotions. My emotions are not me. I'm not my emotions. I'm me. I have emotions, but there's an I that has the emotions. When I allow my emotions to control me, I'm enslaved to my emotions. If my intellect if I think in my mind, this is right, and therefore I'm going to do that, because this is what I think is right, so you're slaves to your intellect, which is again not you. Yeah? We have no idea how enslaved we are to this, to society in the street. We have no idea. If you sit down and make a cheshbon of everything we do is based on what this person's going to look and what this person's going to think and what my family's going to say and what this guy's going to say. Everybody's controlling us except me. What is Torah? Torah is what you really want. Who's the you? Your neshama. Your neshama, which is one with Hashem and one with Torah. So when I do what Torah wants me to do, because I'm one with Torah, my neshama, Torah, and God is all one, big, happy family. So then, when I do Torah, I'm doing what I want. Nobody outside of me, my essence. It's not my intellect. I don't understand. Hashem says do it. I don't understand it. I'm not doing what my intellect wants. I'm doing what God wants, which is really me, my essence. So that's the real freedom. Not only real, that's the only freedom. And therefore, that is the ultimate level of simcha. So these two things of not listening to Hashem and not having simcha is really both in the, it's all the same thing. And that's why the Torah says, it's not only that you didn't listen to Torah mitzvahs. If you didn't do it with simcha, then it's not you. You're doing it because I'm forced to do it. You're doing it not because I want to do it. There's a big difference if I do Torah mitzvahs because I have to do it, or I want to do it. If I want to do it, I'm excited about doing it. When you're excited about doing it, that's when you have simcha. And people that come to daven because, you know, I'd rather get out of it. Like we said, the famous question I mentioned many, many times, a true question that was brought up in a class that I had once, that if you found out today you were a goy, would you be happy or sad? Somebody asked the question in the class. I mentioned this many times.
What kind of a stupid question is that?
It's a very realistic question, by the way.
I'd be sad, because we as neshamas come from God, where our neshamas are higher. Of course, we should be proud of being Jews.
You are so holy.
I'm serious.
Like holy weed that they made on Hollywood side.
Look at the permanent. Don't be narrow-sided.
Hollywood.
A person, I don't want to speak bad about Jews, but I would say, over 75% of Jews today, if you ask them,
yes,
if you found out, I mean, I'm talking about the modern Orthodox crowd, many of the whole crowd, yeah? If you, no, to be foreign and conservative doesn't matter.
But still they care.
Yeah, they care, one second. But if they would find out today, there would be a guy. Would they be happy or sad? 75% at least. I don't want to speak negatively about Jews. But 75% of the Jews would say, thank God, I wouldn't have to do all this stuff. I could eat what I want. I could do Shabbos what I want. I could do whatever I want. I'm a free man. Yeah?
No.
That is absolutely
true. Rabbi, every Jew would say, I'll take that too. I'll be a goy when I want to be a goy. I'll be a,
yeah. Whatever, yeah.
He's not going to take one of the other.
But give me that too. That shows, though.
I'll take two.
And I told you another similar story, the opposite. I told all the time in the class. This Russian lady calls me up from a different city. She's mamish crying on the phone. I said, what's wrong? I didn't know who she was. She called me. I said, what's wrong? She says, I just found out that my mother's mother is not Jewish. I just found out. She's living a frum life. Married with kids, a frum life. I just found out my mother's mother wasn't Jewish. Russians, you know, you don't know what's going on over there. She said, I just found out that my mother's not Jewish. So, you know, I play with things. So I say, okay, so you're a guy. I mean, what, like, you're not Jewish, big deal. I mean, you know. She said, she's screaming at me. She said, not at me. But what do you mean I'm not Jewish? How can I not be Jewish? She's screaming at me, how can I not be Jewish? Like, how could it be? Instead of saying, thank God, I'd rather be a guy. This lady was screaming the opposite. How could it be? Okay, I don't know. I told her she, okay, if she was from already, she can go through conversion very easily, you know, because she was doing it all already. But this is the attitude, the different attitude of people. If you have simcha in Yiddishkeit, if you're excited about Yiddishkeit, and you know this is it, and this is the way to go, and so then you're okay.
What if your simcha comes from making Hashem happy? Like when you daven, you do it in the morning, or in the afternoon, or in the evening, because you feel like it will make your parents happy. Is that count as simcha? No, I'm serious.
That's all pretty good. Pretty good simcha.
That's simcha.
It's about a B minus.
However, I'd like to ask you a question personally. You have lived a Torah life all your life.
I don't answer personal questions. Don't ask.
Please, I'd like to know, do you consider your life to be full of simcha? I mean, honestly, truly?
For sure.
For sure?
I'm paid to answer for sure, yeah.
You're paid to answer.
Rabbi?
What?
Why are there more curses in Kitavo than Bechukotai?
We said them because one was the Jews responsible one for another. And that was before. Okay, we started at the beginning. Okay. But that, now he's going back to the curses. Now we can understand the curses a little bit. But what? The question is, and it's a very simple question a person can ask themselves. Do they enjoy doing the mitzvahs, or do they feel they have to do the mitzvah? That's all. And the truth of the matter is, the truth of the matter is that, and again, we're all normal, we're human, we have a Yetzer Hara, we have all these, you know, everybody has it. But some mitzvahs, we are more excited about than others.
That's true.
Correct? Some mitzvahs we are more excited about than
others.
Discrimination, yeah. But then the truth of the matter is, and this is lofty level already, that really shows, really, on a high level, I mean, again, this should be our problem, right? All this should be our problem. But that shows that you're not really doing mitzvahs solely because Hashem said so. Because if we do mitzvahs because Hashem said so, there's really no difference between any mitzvah. We should do any mitzvah with the same enthusiasm, that we do any other mitzvah. But you know, we have a body and every yetzar. This mitzvah is more, Hanukkah lights are nice, you know, it's a festivity, it's easier than learning 24 hours a day, yeah? Okay, obviously.
A cleaning for Pesach.
Yeah, a cleaning for Pesach.
That's a big one.
Yeah, but you know, I'll give you an example. The Rebbe once spoke for the women. And the Rebbe spoke that every Jewish home is a miniature Beis HaMikdash, but actually a Beis HaMikdash. And if a woman would be asked, he was speaking to women, so he said, if a woman would be asked, would you want to clean the Beis HaMikdash? They would get excited. No? Yeah? They offered you the job to clean the Beis HaMikdash. You would get excited? So the Rebbe said, your own home is a Beis HaMikdash. Why aren't you excited about it?
I am. I clean it 3 times a week.
But you're not a woman.
And he also said that every Friday you have to clean the corner of your house, every corner of your house, even the corner of your house.
Okay, it's a Beis HaMikdash, but I'm saying it's all in the mind.
Right.
It's all in the mind, whether you... I told the story many times. It's a remarkable thing. There's a certain day camp here in the city. Many years ago. Their buses and cars were all leaking oil. And Pep Boys had a sale one day for a thing of oil for $1. Mamish, but only one per customer. And there were like 200 kids in the camp. So the camp decided they're going to make an activity of the kids going to Pep Boys to buy oil. So the camp gave each kid $1 because you can only one per customer. And they made an activity of the kids going to Pep Boys buying oil. Now you can imagine how exciting that is. I heard from a kid that davened here in the shul that was in that camp. They became from another, not from anymore, but the kid told me that was the best day of camp. It was better than Disneyland. It was better. In other words, the counselors hyped it up. Yeah? This excitement about going to Bad Boys to buy a quart of oil for a dollar.
Yeah.
You know what? But it's all in the mind.
Everything is in the mind.
Correct. So if a person's head is screwed on correctly, yeah? Okay? So then, that's where the attitude of Simcha comes in, and that's where Torah Mitzvah comes in. That's where, okay, let's go by. Yep.
Excuse me, but you know, I have to continue one thing. I'm reading a book, and it says completely the opposite of what you're saying.
Yeah, but your book that you're reading is not Chassidus.
It is.
It is Chassidus? Then stop saying the opposite of what I'm
saying. You do whatever you do because Hashem says.
Yes, that's exactly what we're saying. It's exactly what we're saying.
Even if it doesn't
by matter. Doing it because Hashem said so, that means I am in, because Hashem is my soul and Torah, that means I am in control of myself, and that's what Simcha is all about. In other words, Kabbalah's oil, acceptance of the yoke, doing it blind faith, is the ultimate level of Simcha.
He says even if it doesn't make you happy, I say it will make you happy.
No, that, yeah, but he's saying, it's just the, you don't understand, you're missing the point. The point is, when I do it because Hashem wants me to do it, that means that's what I really want to do. And that's what I'm really all about. That's what the real excitement is from. Not from external forces. On the contrary, when I do it because I don't understand it, because when I do it because I understand it, I'm not doing it because I want. Is doing because my brain, who is not me, I'm not my brain, is not me, is telling me to do it. But when I do it because I don't understand, I'm telling you because God, which is my neshama and Torah, which is all one thing, is telling me to do it, then that's the real you doing it. And that's the excitement, and that's the simcha, and that's why simcha beis ha-sha'eva, the Gemara says, kol mi shalera simcha beis ha-sha'eva, lera simcha miyamav, never saw true joy. Pouring water is boring compared to pouring wine on the Mizbeach. Yet the real Simcha, the only Simcha, it says, was pouring water. Because pouring water is the ultimate level of Simcha. Kabbalah's oil. Acceptance of the yoke, which is alluded to in water, which has no taste, no smell. It's not even a food. Right? Water represents Simcha. Simcha's beis ha-sha'eva. It represents Kabbalah's oil, the acceptance of the yoke. That is the ultimate level of Simcha. It's very deep, but it's very simple. The only problem is it's easier said than done, because we do have a Yetzirah, and we do have a body, and we are programmed differently. We are programmed differently in life. No, yeah. I mean,
behavior different.
If you think about it, why should I allow somebody else to control me? Why?
That's what a lot of people say. Actually.
That's in slavery. That's being enslaved.
That's right.
That's Mitzrayim. Definition of slavery, if you go home at night and lock your door, you're not in jail. Because you locked it. You can unlock it. When somebody else locks you in the house, that's you're in jail. Because then somebody else is controlling you.
Yeah, that's true.
Now why should a human being want somebody else, not me, to control myself? Why? It's illogical.
That's true.
But, so why are we not like that? Because we're programmed differently. We're programmed...
But you know, the brain of people is limited. They cannot go over that, you know. If somebody say something all time,
why do I allow my brain to control me when my brain is not me? Your brain is not you. Nobody loves a child because they have a brain, a good brain, a bad brain, or whatever. You love the essence of the child. You don't love the brain. So when a person serves Hashem and allows intellectual control, that's slavery.
Is that what we say, that Hashem loves us like a little child? He loves us whether we study or not, though.
That's right. He loves us regardless.
He loves us whether we study with our brain or not. I mean
correct.
Hashem loves to love him with brain, not with art.
Who says that?
Is that better?
If no.
Love Hashem with your brain?
When your heart, you feel better than your brain. The brain is cold.
Yeah, when you use it, your heart, brain, you enjoy it. It's simcha. You didn't get the simcha.
Why do we say in davening before Shema, v'sein, or we say in Shemoneh Esrei, Psach libi b'torah secha. What does that mean? Open my heart in your Torah. Okay. You learn with your heart or with your head?
With heart.
You learn with your heart or with your head?
This one, we learn with heart.
How do you learn Torah?
With my heart.
Your head. Why does it say Psach libi b'torah secha? It should say Psach moichi b'torah secha. Or before Shema we say, v'sein b'libeinu, put in my heart, bina, understanding, lahavin or lahaskil, yeah. So now, since when do you think with your brain, with your heart? I mean, the same belibenu, same beroshenu, b'meichenu. Put something in the heart, in the head. Why are you doing in the heart?
With the head.
Because Hashem, no, because Hashem says learning is not enough if you don't feel it. When you feel it, it's you.
You touch it.
You can learn something and not keep it because you don't feel it. Feeling is in the heart. Okay.